So this, I honestly, I really don't want to fight the tri-tip tonight.
Well, what do we got? What is this? We got the mic. Now the pressure is on now. All right. I want to do something different. A little more imaginative, maybe. Maybe a little more interactive. So I want you to do this. I want you just to listen. I want you to listen. I want you to close your eyes. And we'll read this passage of Jesus. And I want you, don't try and figure it out. Just listen and what hits you. This is Jesus on a hillside. And he's teaching to the crowds. He's teaching to his disciples. And so I invite you to close your eyes and just listen. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the birds. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O you of little faith, don't seek what you're to eat and what you are to drink, or be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things. Your Father knows that you need Him. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you." Jesus, you can open your eyes. More than prayer speaks to money and possessions, the things that you're attached to. He speaks to this more than he speaks to prayer and even how to pray. I think he does it because it's connected to a variety of other things, to control, to power, to comfort, to what we think we need. And there is a constant temptation, and there's always been a temptation, that I have to worry that more, I need more and more to be satisfied and to even be cared for. More abundance. And so Jesus is always exposing where people's attachments are, and he was always pushing people to release them. And I think that was kind of his secret to living this kind of free, like agenda-free place, I would say is this kingdom place, is that he was pushing you away from these attachments and saying, there is another way to live. Yes, those are hard words, but there is another space that if you seek it, you will find it. It is graspable. And so you get this direct punch at it. Now, this is super dangerous. Because I already said, I know we're probably tired. I want to listen to it one more time. But a lot of times we have to hear it one more time. And I'm going to read it slow. But I want you maybe even try and put yourself, again, close your eyes and put yourself, try to envision yourself sitting on a hillside. And you've got this preacher. It's this very short sermon. He's not going to exposit it. And he's taking what he can. He's looking at the birds. He's looking at the grass. He's looking at simple things. And so you're sitting on the hillside. There's a crowd of people around you, And here comes Jesus, open air. And he starts talking to the crowd saying, hey, there's this other way of life that I really want you to enter into. And so close your eyes again as I read it. Just listen. Just, what is Jesus? And this is the question. What is in this for you right now? What do you hear Jesus saying to you right now? Jesus said to his disciples, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the birds. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse or barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which one of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O you of little faith. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom. These things will be added to you. Keep your eyes closed. What is your response to Jesus? What is it that he's asking you to stop worrying about? It can be something really practical. Jesus' next words are this: fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can open your eyes. In this passage, Jesus is inviting his disciples, and he invites us to reflect, not to be reactive, but to reflect on our lives, on the things we're anxious about. And he asks us to give those things to him. He already knows what they are. He asks us to reflect upon nature. the way to practice this life, non-anxiousness, to practice contentment, is often to consider what you already have. This is what we talked about this afternoon. These things that are familiar in our life, the things that we take for granted, he asks us to be grateful for these things. In it, he asks us to derive pleasure, I think, from simplicity. He says, look at the beauty. And this is what I think is fascinating. He says, look at the beauty of the birds who don't know where their next meal is going to come from. There's a dependence there that's beautiful. He says, consider that. And that's actually a beautiful posture to be in. When you're not storing up, when you're not anxious, there's a beautiful part of dependency. And he also says, look at the flowers. And this is what I think is morbid. He says, look at the flowers, which one moment are alive and the next moment are dead. And consider that they have this lifespan. And he says, I want you to derive pleasure from this simplicity. Look at nature and say, look at the cycle of things, the seasons. That, yeah, life is beautiful and it's fragile and there is a death. There are seasons. That we are here for a short moment and then gone. He's saying, this is the way life works. And when you start to live into the rhythms of the way I've created this world, it's okay. I'm going to take care of you. I think I haven't been trained in simplicity. I've been trained in complexity. And all around us is vying for advertisement, whatever it is, just our culture is saying more and more and more. And part of following Jesus and taking his posture is about less. He invites very specifically to simplify and to find contentment other places. We also talked about learning from other areas of life this afternoon. There's a Japanese term called wabi-sabi. Anybody know wabi-sabi? No? Some would say that it's the actual soul of the Japanese aesthetic. You see a Zen garden, see cracked teapots that are put back together. Wabi means being satisfied with simplicity, and sabi means appreciating the imperfect. And so combined, it's this way of finding beauty within the imperfections and accepting peacefully the passing of time, the natural cycles of growth and decay. So when you see a lot of Japanese art, it's reflected in that way. It's saying, hey, this decaying leaf, there's actually something very beautiful about that. There's something very simple, and there's something very complex, and when you look at these things, there's something beautiful there. And I think that Jesus is saying similar things. He's saying, I want you to get back to nature, to slow down, to trust me, and to derive pleasure from simplicity. Jesus says, look at the seasons. Things are beautiful in their time. You can trust me even in death. Simple questions. When you were listening, what in your life needs to be simplified? What can be simplified? Again, I don't think Jesus is saying, hey, this is a really good idea. It's good that you now know this. He's going, I want you to practice this. I want you to seek immediately. Go sell. Go do something. That there's power when you practice his teachings. What needs to be simplified in your life? You don't need more possessions to be happy. Maybe it's just having one credit card instead of seven credit cards. Or four credit cards. Maybe it's paying down your debt. What does it look like to rid yourself of attachments, of your attachments to possessions? It's this idea of like when you buy a new car, there's people that will come and just like smash out the headlight. Not maybe not the headlight, but dent the car immediately so that you're not all wrapped up, your emotions aren't all in this new car. I don't know if anyone's ever done that, but this idea of saying, hey, I don't want this thing to get hit, so you get wrapped up going, I don't want this thing to be ruined, and so you know what, I'm just going to go ding it up really quick and get it out of the way. This sense of like, hey, I'm going to detach myself from being completely wrapped up in my possessions. Again, I think it's a really practical thing to meditate on, to contemplate. I was talking with a friend recently, and he was in just deep stress about finances. just saying, man, he was just really wrapped up, right? And finances is a huge deal. And about work and how much he had to work. He said, yeah, I've got a house in Texas. And we've got a house here where we live. And it's almost paid off. And we actually have this other rental. And it's just, I'm so stressed out about all these things. And to me, I think there is a part of it of saying, all right, so you're stressed out because you have all these different things. Sell the two houses, pay down your mortgage, and live very simply. I think there are very practical things that Jesus calls us to. Saying, what does it look like to simplify your life? Because a lot of times it's actually more attached to our security, more attached to our possessions than it is to anything else. I have another set of friends at our church that walked away from their house and went and traveled for about 6 months. And when they came back, I found this fascinating. Again, I think that they're difficult pills to swallow, but I watched them do this. They had a huge house. They moved away for a time, traveled. They don't have any kids, so it makes it a little easier when you don't have kids. Moved back, rented a very small apartment, and chose to work part-time jobs so that they could be involved in the community, in their church community, in our church community. And it made this insane difference when someone actually oriented their life around relationship and not around jobs, which is completely counterintuitive to where most of us live. And yet it becomes this little epicenter of relational connectedness, these people that have the time to share meals, to watch kids, to go on hikes, to fill in the blank. And they just said, we do not want to get caught up. There's a simplicity that we long for our life, that we want to be connected to other people. I think that is really practical. That's a practical way to live into the kingdom. To cut ties with this empire that would just demand more and more of your time. And yeah, it starts to sting when you start to think about ways in which you could do it. It's not easy. What would it look like for you to cut down, to be more available for relationship? There's a guy named Loyola, and he created the spiritual exercises. I had referenced it early. And he really kind of pioneered this idea of getting rid of your attachments, to kind of separate your emotions from the things that you have so that you could actually just say, you know what, that could be over and done with. I let go of those things, and then you can actually re-enter so that you can use those things wisely and correctly. I don't think this means that everyone, and I don't know, because I don't even know what, I mean, I think Jesus says it right here, right? He says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. There's just a cut and dry straightforward of saying, hey, if you want this, you want to enter into the kingdom, there's this practical thing of sell your possessions. I don't think it means everyone should sell all their possessions. I do think it means more of saying rid yourself of the attachments that keep you into places, that put you into places that aren't fostering a relationship with other people or with me. Cut those things out. Spend time loving and serving the people around you. Proverbs 30, verse 7 through 9 says this. Just kind of playing with this idea of cash. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So the proverb, this wisdom writer, he's saying two things I ask. Two things before I die. Don't let me be a liar, and don't make me wealthy, and don't make me too poor. Just give me what I need, that there's this wisdom place. And I think it's fascinating when we think about before I die. What's that prayer for you? Lord, before I die, for me it's I want to sail
the Bahamas. Before I die, Lord, please, let me win the lottery. Before I die, just let me make a lot of money. Because I would bless people. I would be the greatest. Have you ever played that game with the lottery? It gets to like $300 million, and you're like, God, I'll steward this money for you. I will give this money away. Lord, before I die, trust me with that money. Let me just hand this out for people. And the wisdom, this writer, he's saying, one thing before I die, don't make me rich, because I'm not strong enough to handle it. Don't make me poor. There's a wisdom in being in touch. This is what I would say the point is with your weakness, your dependency. There's a wisdom in being in touch with your weakness. But here it is, he's saying it. I admit I'm not strong enough. Jesus is pushing it. He's saying, you know what? Look, these things are dependent upon me, and I want you in that same place. There's a wisdom in staying in that place of weakness. Give me this daily bread, and it's enough. Give me what is needful for me. Let me be content with what I have. May I be alive to the present. There's a Modest Mouse song. I like Modest Mouse. And I think they have one of the most convicting lines at the end of one of their songs. I think the song is called The Ocean Breeze Salty. And he just repeats it over and over at the end of the song. And he says, you wasted life. Why wouldn't you waste the afterlife? You wasted life. Why wouldn't you waste death? This idea of saying, what makes you think if you just let everything go in life and didn't care, why would you think you'd care in the afterlife? And I think there's a part that's truthful about this of saying, Jesus is pushing you to the present moment, saying, be present, alive to this moment. Don't waste it. Enter into the kingdom here and now. And then lastly, I would say in practicing this contentment, Jesus says the most important thing. He says, don't be afraid. This kingdom is something to be found. It can be found, and it's God's good pleasure. God longs to give it to you. It's God's good pleasure to give you all that you need. So detach from your possessions, simplify, pray for daily bread, seek the kingdom, and trust in me. And I think as we do this, as we follow Jesus in this wisdom, we become a people that can love, that are free, that aren't entangled, our identities aren't tangled in what we wear and what we eat and where we live, but they become more entangled with who God is and how we're loving other people. So I think that's a really practical way. Let's pray. Father, thanks for the time together, the opportunity to get away into nature and to reflect, to look, to hear the silence, as Dennis said, to get out of the city. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd be working in our hearts, convicting us of the places that we need to look to you, the anxieties we need to let go of, the worries, the fears, the things that we're too attached to. I know that you're gentle, and so I pray that you would gently lead us into a journey of letting those things go. Stir our hearts to seek the kingdom. We know that you love us, and we trust in that this evening. In Christ's name, amen.